Radio. We're at 1-866-50-JIMBO, 1-866-505-4626. Online, you'll find us at JimboHannonShow.com. You can follow me on Twitter at Jimbo Talks. And tonight, we're going to be talking with Lieutenant General Colby Broadwater, who is the president of the American College of the Building Arts, and Dr. Wade Razzie, who is the head of the ACBA Academic Program. And thank you both for being on tonight.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. Let's start with General Broadwater. As president of the American College of the Building Arts, I must say that, I had a preview peek at just what this is. Most people out there would say, what's that? So why don't you tell us? go right ahead and give us an outline of what the American College of the Building Arts is.
Real quickly, there's a huge shortage of skilled craftsmen in our country. After Hurricane Hugo hit the city of Charleston back in 1989, the experts said that more damage was done by bad repairs than was done by the storm itself. Some of the citizens of Charleston, and Charleston's been a leader in preservation movement in the country for years, they decided to put a school together, studied a couple different models, took a French model of about 900 years that trains craftsmen in France. A 10-year model doesn't work real well in the United States. And then they took a liberal arts, critical thinking degree, truncated it all to 4 years. What you would know basically as a liberal arts background and a preservation degree that you get in a number of colleges in the United States. And then added the hands-on component so that what we do here is we educate artisans.
A lot of people at this point would say, "Oh well, of course you got your skilled artisans. That's blue collar. They don't need a college degree. So why are you mixing the two together?"
Well, we're producing something a little bit different. Our goal is to get a young man or a young woman all the skills necessary to understand the historical appropriateness. Give them the skills to do it, and send them out into the world to either run their own business or work at a very high level. We do more than just teach somebody to lay brick, carve stone, make beautiful ironwork. We want them to know the historical background, why it works, what's appropriate, and so that and have the knowledge necessary to discuss this with potential clients, architects, at a different level.
All right, now then, let's turn to Mr. Razzie, or Dr. Razzie, I should say, to take a look at just what it is that you teach in particular at the American College of the Building Arts.
So, the way that Colby described it, we have a what looks like on paper a traditional liberal arts component, and then we have the trade classes. So on the liberal arts side, I say, it looks on paper like a traditional program because we teach math, science, history, English, and classes that you would see in pretty much any college curriculum, but we do it in a very specialized way. So our students take 2 semesters of architectural history. They take 2 semesters of math that covers geometry and trigonometry, those mathematics, branches of mathematics that are most important for building. Our science classes are material science. So they study the things that they use to build, wood, stone, brick, iron, how they break down, how they corrode, how you stop that, how you treat it when it's happened. So it's a very targeted curriculum that then supports the trade classes that they take. And we have 6 areas that a student can specialize in. We don't call them majors, we call them specializations. And those are architectural iron, architectural carpentry, timber framing, masonry and stone, plaster, and we have a new specialization in classical architecture and design. So our specializations are focused on those areas of building arts. So as Colby said, you come in, it's one-stop shopping. You learn the trade at, frankly, a very high level because most of our instructors are European-trained craftsmen who went through the program that Colby just described, these extensive programs where you're training for 10, 12 years. So you're getting the trade at a very high level, and then you're getting all the support classes that teach you drafting, design, And then we do some components for people that may want to eventually be a to start their own business or to be you know, to be self-employed at some point. So we have accounting and business management, construction management, and leadership classes.
1-866-50-JIMBO is our number, 1-866-505-4626 on the Jimbo Hannon Show, as we are talking tonight about a college with a considerable difference. It is a college unlike any you have ever seen before. And we will take a quick break, shall we, and be back with more in just a moment. Welcome back to Jimbo Hannon Show at 1-866-50-JIMBO, 1-866-505-4626. A college where history is taught in the context of architectural history, science is taught in the context of the science of materials in order to repair historic treasures, for example, math taught in the context of drawing, measuring, fitting. What a concept. We're talking about the American College of the Building Arts. It is in Charleston, South Carolina. Our guests are Dr. Wade Razzi, head of the ACBA Academic Program and the president of the American College of the Building Arts, retired Lieutenant General Colby Broadwater. We have a call from Richard in Tyler, Texas. Hello, Richard.
Hi. I'm going to give you just a real quick background so I can set up my question. But I'm in my hometown, Tyler. Back in the 70s, we had a program, building trades program and architectural drafting program that kind of tied hand in hand. And we built a house over the course of the year with high school students that was supervised by a qualified instructor. Over the course of the decades that I've lived through, I've seen more and more where you can't find any a citizen. And I'll put this delicately, a citizen of the United States is hard pressed to find any meaningful paying job in the construction industry anymore, unless he is the builder himself. I'm wondering how are you going for people to get interested in this program when the typical citizen doesn't have much opportunity to lay hands on any building material at this point in history?
If I can take that one, what I would say is that In our program, the skill level is so high that the need is absolutely there. For the last 4 years, we've had to have our student employment verified by a third party, and we're at 100%. And these are, you know, pretty well-paying jobs by and large. If you want to get a job as a you know, a basic bricklayer, or someone who just does stick framing, you know, we cover those things, but our skill set goes well beyond that. So our students learn very advanced techniques in all the trades, and so it is that makes it possible for them to get pretty decently paying jobs upon graduation. The other part of the question is, how do we get people interested in the education? I mean, we're a small college. We don't need a lot of people, but certainly we're always on the lookout for a few more. And it is sort of an uphill battle because this area of there's two things. The whole trade education in the United States has been neglected for so long. And then we get the reaction that you made just a few minutes ago. Well, why do you have to go to college to learn these things? So it is a little bit of an uphill battle, but you know, we're about to start the academic year with the largest student body we've ever had. So, you know, things are improving.
All right. Thanks, Richard. Appreciate your call. 1-866-50-JIMBO, 1-866-505-4626. How long has the American College of the Building Arts been in existence?
The college got its license in 2004. Like I said, after about 10 years of figuring out what they wanted to do, started teaching in 2005. So that's when we actually had the first student come into the door.
Mm-hmm. It's a great concept. I mean, I'm really attracted to this notion. I would assume that you are fully accredited and all. In other words, the academic establishment says this is okay.
It took a while. Yeah. Sorry, Colby. It took a while to find the right academic establishment because a lot of accrediting agencies really just didn't get what we were trying to do. And at one point, we had a conversation where they told us, well, you know, your general education classes are leaning too much toward your trade classes. Well, how do we fix that? Well, teach Western Civ or American history instead of architectural history. Don't teach material science. Teach biology or chemistry. And it's like that's ruining the whole concept of the college. So yeah. It did take a little while to get somebody who understood what we were doing. But yeah, we are accredited.
I don't wish to put words in your mouth, certainly, but it sounds to me like what we're talking about here is, well, I suppose it would be okay, but the ACBA sounds so blue-collar.
Right.
In other words, have I touched on a snobbery issue here?
There is a little bit of that.
And I would argue a little bit on you that our students are anything but blue-collar. Now, what they do when they leave may be working for some very high-end people, but our students come from across the country, come from all various different backgrounds, different ages, and so we got veterans that study with us and can use their benefits. So it may be blue collar, but I tell you that some of these students are leaving working at a very high level.
Fair enough. 1-866-50-JIMBO 1-866-505-46 2-6. Now, what about expense? Today, of course, that is a major factor when students go off to college. And in far too many cases, of course, you've got people who grab six figures of debt from 4 years that teaches them how to be the most literate barista at Starbucks. And that's the problem. Go ahead and answer that, and I have another point, but go ahead.
Okay, well, that's a great question, and I thought we have a tuition that I thought was, you know, somewhat generous when I got here. It was right at $20,000 a year, and again, I came in 2008. We were an unaccredited school, very small, and I thought that was pretty healthy. What I have done, and at times even argued with the Board of Trustees, is we have never raised that tuition. We've worked very hard so that the young men and women here don't leave with a lot of student debt. They can now, because of accreditation and Title IV with the government, take more student loans than what we were offering them, because ours were mainly for the academics. But we, for years, have run an average student debt leaving there somewhere between $10,000 and $12,000. Now, for some people, that's still a lot of money, but that's not anywhere near what you're talking about with the national average.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
A big part of paying back your student debt is having a job when you leave college. And most of our students are leaving. I mean, literally the day of graduation, they already have their job lined up. I would say at least about half of them, and the other half are getting jobs fairly quickly. So, you know, if you've got a decent paying job and you've kept the debt load low, as Colby's described, it does make it a lot more manageable.
Yeah, that is, to me, just vitally important. I've heard all this stuff about the job of college is not to help you get a job. And my answer is, yes, it is. It absolutely is. Society's point of view, it totally is. If you want to just find yourself or contemplate your navel, there are cheaper ways to do that than getting into six figures worth of debt. And I liken it to bowling, quite frankly. In this country, we have an awful lot of bowling leagues. We have a lot of bowling leagues because we have more people who like to bowl than we have people who can make a living on the professional bowling tour. And so what these people do is they have a job during the week, and then every Thursday or whenever, while they go to their bowling league, and they exercise that particular indulgence. That's what they like to do. Unfortunately, they are not in a position where they can make a living doing what it is they like to do most, but they are in a position to do both. I got a job during the day, and then I got the bowling league on Thursday nights. And likewise, if you have a passion for Etruscan literature or something, it's not worth six figures of debt to learn about that. You know, read at the library in your spare time while you go to an actual job during the week that brings in a paycheck and does not leave you indebted until you're middle-aged. Just
right.
A thought.
I think one of the interesting things is that, you know, there is this tension in American education between job preparation and general education. And you know, I mean, it really even goes back to the medieval universities. You went to become a lawyer or a theologian. That's why you went to a university in the first place. You were trying to have that career, essentially. Colby and I have made the comparison a lot to accounting. I mean, if you're majoring in accounting, presumably you're going to become an accountant. You're not doing that for fun. And that's a major that's been around for about 125, 150 years. So, you know, we've been preparing people for jobs through college education for an awful long time. It's just that, as you said, we're preparing students for jobs that have been traditionally viewed as blue-collar jobs, and so we get a little bit more flack than your average college.
Yeah. I mean, again, if you're going to go to college, good reasons would not be the following. Well, all my friends are going, or mom and dad at the country club will be really embarrassed if I wind up as an electrician or a plumber, despite the fact that you will see very few electricians or plumbers in the unemployment line.
So,
To a call from Susan, who calls in from Whittier, California, on the Jim Bohannon Show with Colby Broadwater and Wade Razzi from the American College of the Building Arts in Charleston, South Carolina. Their website, by the way, their initials, acba.edu. And here's Susan. Hi.
Are you there?
We're here. Go right ahead. You're on the radio.
Yeah, sorry. I dropped the phone. I like the guys who are talking about vocational education.
Right.
What would we do without a plumber or an electrician?
What do we do about one? What do you mean? I'm not sure what you're saying.
What would we do without?
Oh, what would we do without them?
Electrician.
Well, I think it's pretty clear that in today's society, you cannot exist without plumbers and electricians at some point. Granted, what you have in the way of electricity and plumbing works, and it works most of the time, but when it goes out, you need one then. And the answer, of course, is what you do is you panic if there's not enough of them. Point well taken, Susan. Did you have anything else you wanted to note?
My dad was an underground construction guy, and my brother.
By underground construction, what do you mean by that?
Underground, they were laying lines in Southern California, electric, gas, everything, undergrounding everything.
Oh, I got you. Okay, I see. Got you. The utility lines.
Learned from my dad.
All right, very good. We're speaking with Lieutenant General Colby Broadwater. Retired from the military, now the president of the American College of the Building Arts, and the ACBA academics head, Dr. Wade Razzi. Their email address, or website, I should say, is acba.edu, their initials, American College of the Building Arts, acba.edu. And it is a concept that has been put into effect now in Charleston, South Carolina. There has been some talk about possibly moving this to other locations around the country, expanding, if you will. I don't know. I use the term franchising. But in any event, it could very well be that the concept will expand to enable others out there to obtain not only a college degree, but usable, marketable skills, which can, therefore, let you hit the deck running the minute that you leave college and go on and not leave yourself so buried in debt without a means of paying for it. So we'll continue with more on the Jim Bohannon Show and be back in just a moment. Welcome back to the Jim Bohannon Show at 1-866-50-JIMBO, 1-866-50-5462. You never know when you may need an electrician, as we have learned this evening, as we are talking with Lieutenant General Colby Broadwater, retired now. He is the president of the American College of the Building Arts, online at their initials acba.edu, and Dr. Wade Razzi, who is the head of ACBA Academics. And we're looking at the concept of a college that not only teaches you some of the things that one expects from a college that drift into, I guess, what one would call the humanities, but also with a bent towards seeing to it that you come out at the end of 4 years with actual, usable, marketable skills. What a great idea. It would seem that this is a natural idea. I don't know if you've thought about franchising this, General Broadwater, but there ought to be about 40 or 50 of these around the country.
That was actually, has been discussed since even before I got to the college, and we talked to a group in Minnesota last year. Wade's talked to people in several different states about that. There's one thing that gets at how you introduced this segment about the utility and the experiences that I think your listeners might want to know about.
Sure.
A piece of this education is every summer that a student is with us, they have to go work somewhere across the country or around the world in an externship. They get to work on actually some of the best buildings in the world. We had a student on top of the Capitol Dome a few years ago. You may remember when that was covered up. That was part of his summer externship. We have somebody at Mount Vernon every year. Colonial Williamsburg is a regular customer. The National Park Service, they worked on Lincoln's Cottage in Washington, D.C. this year. Lincoln Cathedral in the United Kingdom. A castle that the Russians burned after World War II. We worked a number of years helping them restore some of that. So not only do you get the academic experience here in the classroom and during the school year on some beautiful architectural buildings that we have here in the city, the summers are basically wide open for experiences. And these externships, in many cases, lead to the jobs that Wade was talking about a few minutes ago.
That is a great concept. Dr. Rossi, if you could expand on that term, externships. I think by the context that I can fairly well figure out what that is, but I've never heard that before. I've heard, of internships, but not externships. That is to say you get credit for working somewhere?
Yeah, it's usually... I think the origin of the internship was that they actually hired students to, work in the school or the college. So our students are going out into the world, like Colby said. They're working on some of the most important buildings in the country, Mount Vernon and Lincoln's Cottage this summer. We had students working on Fort Sumter in Charleston, which is a national park, last summer. So the term is one that our accrediting body likes us to use rather than internship. In terms of what the precise difference is, I guess you can kind of argue over that. But the idea on the basic idea on the program is that this is real world application of what they've learned over the course of the year. So our faculty have discussions with the provider about the kind of work the student's going to be doing to make sure that, A, the student's capable of doing it, but also that it is in the wheelhouse of our program. I mean, sometimes a student will be able to get something that will give them an educational experience of something that we don't cover in the normal curriculum, and that's fine too, but just making sure that it's a valid educational experience, and then they go out and work for the summer and sometimes get paid as well as getting credit from us.
What a really great concept, I must say. And I gather that where you now stand is as an accredited degree granting for your institution. Would that be correct?
Yeah, we are. Sorry, Colby, you go ahead.
No, this is in your wheelhouse anyway, to use your term. Go ahead.
Yeah, we are licensed by the state of South Carolina to grant both an associate's degree in the building arts, associate of applied science in the building arts, and a bachelor of applied science in the building arts. And we are accredited by a body called ACCSC, which is the Accrediting Council of Career Schools and Colleges.
In other words, you could take a degree from ACBA and you could apply at some other institution for, say, a master's program.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And we've had discussions with a few particular institutions that are interested in having some of our students come their way for their architecture programs or their architectural history programs or their, master's in preservation, because they know that our students are coming in with a skill set that, frankly, nobody else in the country has.
Now, I know that Germany in particular has always been considered to be pretty good on the blue-collar skills. That is to say, they turn out top-notch auto mechanics and plumbers, mm-hmm. electricians, and so on. But I don't know that I've heard of anything like this in Germany. They produce good skilled craftsmen, but I'm not aware that they've ever done anything along these lines of incorporating this into a four-year academic curriculum. Do you know if anybody else in any other country is doing this?
We have
We can talk about Germany. He grew up there.
And I actually went to the German school system for a couple of years. They tend to put them in tracks. Either you're going to go the educated route to college, or you're going to get a certain amount of education and get into the skill sets. But they split them. They divide them somewhere in when I was in the German school, that's a couple of years ago, at about age 12 or 14, they make that decision. They've gone in and out of that over time, but you're right. We don't believe there's anybody else in the world that's offering a degree. I've had people into school from China, Cuba, Canada, and other places that want to look at this, but nobody is has yet to do it that we know of.
Yeah.
The closest one is the French Compagnon du Devoir system, which is the 10-year program that Colby alluded to, but it's 10 years, number one, and you actually don't get a degree at the end. You are a member of the Compagnon, which is like passing into membership in a guild, but they are not actually awarded a degree.
And the European system of tracking, if I'm not mistaken, I know this was a criticism some years ago, that they decide if you're college material or a building trade person very young. And boy, once you get stuck in that track, you would not exactly call that an upwardly mobile society in that regard. No, you're on track to be a plumber. Just you forget all about that literature degree. I mean, that's the way it used to be. Is that still the way it is?
As far as I know,
I think it still is that way. Like I said, for a couple of years, I think they tended to come off of that, but I think they're back to it. The thing that they have that we don't have is they have systems of different levels. As you come out of your training, you know, in Germany, you can work for a number of years, I mean a long time, and end up with a master's brief, a Meister brief that, you know, you hang on in your business, which is a very proud document. So, I mean, they tend to take care of the people in those businesses. Colonial Williamsburg has some of that system. We actually have a graduate there, the first woman at Colonial Williamsburg, that is at the journeyman level. She's been there 3 or 4 years now. So, you know, some of those things still exist in Europe. They don't exist here in the United States, except at a place like Williamsburg.
And the shame of it is that some of our best students are people that have done other things and then decided that this was really what they wanted to do. So these were people, I mean, we had last year, we actually had a student who already had a PhD from Oxford University. We have students who have degrees in preservation that after they finished, they realized they never picked up a tool. We have a really great plaster student who was a graphic designer and then decided he wanted to build things in the real world. So that kind of, you know, punitive tracking system, it really, you would miss out on a lot of really great students who would be kind of shoved more in the college direction and discouraged from going into this kind of education.
We learn about the American College of the Building Arts, acba.edu. Our guests are General Colby Broadwater, their president, Dr. Wade Razzi, the head of ACBA Academics. 1-866-50-JIMBO. Back in a moment. Welcome back to the Jimbo Hannon Show at 1-866-50-JIMBO, 1-866-505-4626. We're talking with retired Lieutenant General Colby Broadwater. He's the president of the American College of the Building Arts, online at their initials, acba.edu, and Dr. Wade Razzi, who is the head of ACBA Academics. It is a combination of learning skills of the trades, if you will, connected with a college degree-granting program. And you're not going to wind up, again, so deeply in debt that you'll never get out of it because you were not taught skills that will give you a good paycheck right off the bat. Now, these people graduate and get jobs. What a concept. All right, we got a call from Tyler, who calls in from Fort Worth, Texas. Good evening, Tyler.
Good evening, sir. Great program. Before you answer my question, I've got my question is going to be, do you also teach a course in management and or accounting? because once these men learn these skills, somebody's got to manage these companies, sell the products, et cetera, that they will, that will be used in the skill levels or knowledge that they have.
Interesting thought. What about the notion of maybe MBA type CPA type of training, managerial skills, if you will, as opposed to hands on?
We already do it. So they take an accounting class in their junior year. They take a construction management and a business management class in their sophomore and then in junior year. And then there's a leadership class that Colby usually comes in and does a couple lectures for that, you know, being a retired lieutenant general, he's got some pretty good leadership skills. So he'll come in and do a little bit on that. But we have a leadership class, and we've also, they also take classes on preservation, and they take an architectural a sequence of two architectural classes. And so, again, they've got the design, they've got the build, they've got the leadership, the management, a little bit of accounting, just so that they – we always joke that we're not trying to train CPAs. We just want to make sure that they know if their CPA is ripping them off.
Very good. And that answer your question, Tyler?
One more – yes, sir, and one more.
Yes, sir. Go right ahead. Yes, go right ahead.
Go Army, by the way. I am a vet.
As am I.
I know, congratulations. But when in the went to school after the military, and my college educated me, but it didn't teach me anything, if that makes any sense.
Right.
No, we know exactly what you're talking about. It's what we've been talking about for the past 45 minutes. Go ahead.
Do you recruit from high schools, or how do you get this information out of what you do and the importance of these trades and the opportunities that exist once they complete your coursework there?
Well, I mean, marketing has been a challenge for us because it's very much a niche program. I mean, you have to find the right people. Just, you know, the kind of broad-based marketing that a lot of colleges do just doesn't work for us. We have reached out to the high schools in our area, but frankly, the way that people find us is by Googling. You know, if you Google blacksmith and college, we'll come up. And that's how people find us. We've worked with some of the trade organizations. There's an organization called ABANA, which is the Artist Blacksmith Association of North America. There's a Timber Framers Guild. They know about us, and when people want to pursue education, you know, they'll tell them about us. And we do things like what we're doing right now. We've been on some radio shows. We've been in a bunch of magazines, Garden and Gun, and things like that that have helped us to get the word out.
All right. Fantastic. Thanks for your thoughts, Tyler. Anybody else have some thoughts? Why, let us know at 1-866-50-JIMBO, 1-866-505-4626. And we'll continue with our look at the American College of the Building Arts with Colby Broadwater and Wade Razzi in just a moment. Welcome back to the Jimbo Hannon Show at 1-866-50-JIMBO, 1-866-505-4626. And we're learning more about what I think is a notable, a landmark achievement in higher education in this country, the American College of the Building Arts. And again, we're talking with two of their leaders, their college president, Lieutenant General Colby Broadwater, the head of their academic program, Dr. Wade Razzi. How hard is it to get in, and are there special breaks, for example, for, say, state residents of South Carolina? I'm wondering about people who in other parts of the country who might be interested in your school.
No, there's no in-state, out-of-state preference. We're not a state-funded college, so we don't have to do that. And so, you know, everybody has an equal shot at getting in regardless of geography. We don't have a kind of magic bullet, to tell people when they ask this question, you know, what do I need to do to get in? We look at every application holistically. There's no sort of minimum SAT score that you have to get in. The academic program is rigorous. Our students take 18 credits per semester on average. You're doing, you know, a 12-credit general education program and then a 15-hour-a-week trade class. So you're in class for 28 hours a week. So it's challenging. And, you know, we need to make sure that the people coming in are going to be able to handle that. They're going to be taking trig basically by the end of their first year, you know, by the end of their freshman year. So it's a rigorous program, but we do look at everything. We ask students to submit a portfolio, SAT or ACT scores, GPA, letters of recommendation, an essay. And, you know, we look at everything across the board to see if we can comfortably think the student is going to succeed in the program. Because it really does take facility in both halves. You can't just be good at academics or just good at trade. You have to be able to handle both to get through the program.
Let's be perfectly blunt about it. Are American high schools providing you with material you can use, or do you have to teach remedial stuff?
Math is a tough one because math is just tough everywhere. You know, we have a really great professor that teaches that, and he said, you know, he thought he would come in the first time and basically start with a review of geometry and then go into trig, and he had to back up and do a crash course in Algebra 1, basically. So math is challenging, but other than that, yes, I mean, we've got a lower than the national average attrition rate. So if a student gets in and comes, they have a better chance of graduating from our program than from your average American college.
Is there any tendency toward people older than, let's say, 18? Let's say people maybe in their 30s even who've decided that this is my chance to expand my my opportunities?
We've averaged in the last couple of years 27, 28 years old average because we had the one young lady that Wade was talking about that had already had a PhD and a complete career in the Coast Guard. This next year, we're going to have more out of high school. But one thing that to add to what Wade just said on the academics, we've got a very low student teacher ratio. The reason I got involved in the school was when you see what you know, a master apprentice sort of relationship going on in a class and the individuals really know each other and they appreciate what that master knows. That's something that I think is missing in American education. I saw it the first time I went there. That's why I got involved.
Mm-hmm. A term that comes to my mind, I'm not sure how it fits into all of this at all, but the term is apprenticeship. Could this program, for example, maybe bypass the traditional apprenticeship advancement course in the trades?
I mean, that's really one of the goals because, you know, to go back to the question you asked a while back, why do you need to go to college to learn this? The apprenticeship system broke down, and you don't have the extensive apprentice education system that you had 60, 50, 75 years ago. And in a lot of the professions, you know, a decade ago, it was very difficult to find anybody who could really train you. Plaster, which is one of the things that we teach, is a profession that is on the verge of extinction because so many of the guys that are active and good are aging out and they can't find people to train. So, our goal is to help to rebuild that system to have enough craftsmen because our student population's 93 or 94 students this year. We're not going to fix the huge problem in skilled labor that's looming out there. There's just no way that our college can meet the need for, you know, 80,000 carpenters,
sure,
which is the Bureau of Labor Statistics projected need over the next 6 years, I think.
But nonetheless, this is the place where the solving of the problem begins. We have elapsed our time, so gentlemen, please stay online, and we will speak briefly off air again. Colby Broadwater, president of the American College of the Building Arts, and Dr. Wade Rossi, head of their academics, acba.edu, and this is Westwood One. Hi there and good evening. Welcome to the Jimbo Hannon Show from Westwood One Radio. We're at 1-866-50-JIMBO, 1-866-505-4626. Online, you'll find us at JimboHannonShow.com. You can follow me on Twitter at JimboTalks. Nice to have you on the program tonight. And the Trump administration is remaining focused on cracking down on illegal immigration into this country. There's a new regulation out now which could cut way back on the number of legal immigrants able to enter and stay in the country. That comes on the heels, of course, of the raids against those in this country illegally in Mississippi. And John Lawrence has more.
Nearly a week has passed since authorities detained close to 700 undocumented immigrants at several food processing plants in Mississippi.
Please put your heart, let my parent be free.
11-year-old Magdalena's father was among those taken into custody. Her family still doesn't know where he is. Mark Morgan, the acting commissioner for U.S. Customs.